Do ya? And what started all this was a few, less than a month ago, I was walking out the door, just about to walk out the door to teach a service, to teach a class. And I thought that the thing was going to go a certain direction. I thought that I had an idea from the Lord where we were going to go with it. And if you haven't seen me preach, please forgive me for preaching with my eyes shut. It's just a little easier for me to hear from the Lord. Anyway, I was walking out the door and I heard the Lord say to me, "Don't you want to know what the theme is?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I thought I did, but yeah, I do. He said, "I want you to talk about soul ties." And so I went to the service without any time to prepare in the natural, but I just went by the flow of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to take us through some of the things that can happen in our life, just one small subsection. And the feedback that we got from that was so strong. We had people get free, and we don't share anybody's personal testimonies because everybody is getting free. Everyone has issues. Everybody that is alive today has issues. We all do. All of us do. And so the phone calls that were coming in were really off the charts compared to our normal phone calls, which are usually pretty good. But these were things that were deep-rooted issues for years, were unhooked just by a simple matter of breaking ties that had been formed during life. And after that, I was asking the Lord about it. I was sitting with the Lord in my lunch hour, and I was sitting with Him asking Him questions. I said, "Lord, that was not our usual thing. That's not the way we usually go. I used to talk a lot about emotional healing and about getting free." But I said, "It seemed to me like you're doing something here." And He said, "I want you to start this class." And He began to give me the scripture in Luke 4:18 where Jesus stood up in the synagogue and He was like announcing to the world who He was and why He came. And He said this, he was quoting from Isaiah, but He was reading about Himself. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to tell good news to poor people. He has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners or captives. He has sent me so that the blind will see again, and He wants me to free those who are beaten down." Beaten down. And in another translation, it said, "those that are bruised," those that have been bruised. And one of the things the Lord has shown me is that people, a lot of times Christians, go through life and they're trying so hard to walk as Christians. They're trying to walk like Jesus walked. And we try to do it in the natural and we fail. Because we in our flesh don't have the ability to do the works of the Spirit. We don't have in our flesh, the Bible says, in our flesh, our natural body, dwells no good thing. We don't have the ability to do all the things that Jesus Christ did. He was perfect and pure and holy. Yet the same Spirit that lived in Him, if we're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, we have the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, the same Spirit that filled Him when He was at the river with John, that very same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus, that anointed Him to do these things He just said. The same Spirit that anointed Him to do all that stuff has now come to live in us, has come to seal us with the promise of His inheritance. So what's happened is that same Spirit is on the inside of us. And what has happened is believers are going through life trying to do good works, trying to act right and failing and feeling frustrated with their inability, which the Bible says they don't have any ability except by that Holy Spirit. And so what happens is we know we're supposed to be good and not lie and not sin and not steal and not lust. And we're supposed to do good works and be kind and be loving. But it's just like Paul said, you know, in Romans 7, he's talking about this issue. He says, you know, "I find this law at work when I want to do good. Evil's right there with me. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another work, another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin." So it's like he knew there was this constant war going on between what he really wanted to do for God, who he wanted to be in God, and this other thing going on the inside of him that was constantly warring against it. And what excited me about, the reason I'm excited about getting free is, when I came back to Christ, I had actually gotten born again. But I was living in a house of unbelievers. No one in my family was saved. I didn't know what you were supposed to do. I didn't go to church. I read the Bible for about 3 days, and then I didn't know what to do, so I went on my way, and I lived as a virtual backslider, which means I went to college like everybody else. I sinned like everybody else. I did all the stuff people do in college, all the stupid, stupid things, because I was ignorant, and I thought I would find satisfaction in that, and the whole time I knew God was pulling me back to Him. At the age of 26, when I came back to Him, I got down on my knees and made Him truly Lord of my life. There's a difference between accepting Christ and saying, yes, I acknowledge You're God, and I want You to save me and forgive me my sins. There's a big difference between that and getting on your knees and saying, this is it. I'm not going to run my life anymore. Now You're going to run it. And that's what happened to me at 26. The unfortunate thing was I had lots and lots of baggage that I had gone out and gotten myself. I had been involved in wrong relationships. I had been involved lightly with drugs, some drinking. Mostly my thing was wrong relationships. I was not a great person when I was, you know, in the world. None of us were. And when I came back to Christ, I found that I was bound. I was a prisoner. I was a captive, just like this talks about. And I learned a little bit about spiritual warfare. And I learned about fighting the enemy, and I learned about prayer, and I was very excited because I saw miracles happen in prayer. I was real excited because I would pray in the Spirit, and I'd see miracles happen. It was exciting. But here's what one of the things that happened to me. There was one particular type of attack that would come against me. It would be like a severe temptation. Some people call it a cycle of temptations. And what it's like is this. You go along, and you're fine, and then out of nowhere develops this cycle of temptations. Maybe it goes on for a while. You fight it, you stand against it, you pray against it, you get free, you think, and yay, this was my pattern. And this went on for about 8 years, I'm sorry to say. See, now in the church, we don't admit that these things happen, but they happen. They happen to believers, and people are afraid to bring it up. There's shame and embarrassment. I tell you, I really respect anybody that came tonight, because what it means is that you wanted to do something with your life, whatever. Whatever it is. Most people would stay home and go, well, I don't want to go because that might look like, who cares? Get me free. And so what happens, I struggled with this cycle for 8 years, and it was miserable. And I got to be honest with you, I was a pretty strong intercessor, and I would pray through it, and I thought that I was getting my deliverance, and I would say, yay, I'm set free. And I would be for some months. And then here something would come along, and here would come this temptation. Now, by the grace of the Lord, I never blew it, thank God. But it was only by His grace. But after a number of years, I was like, what is the deal? What is wrong with me that this continues to keep coming up? And one day I finally did what I should have done in the first place. I sat down in the kitchen and said, God, what is my problem? Why am I like this? And God said one sentence to me. And that one sentence, the minute He said the sentence, I acknowledged that it was true. I realized that there was a cause for my problem. Part of it was my fault. I repented of the part that was my fault. I asked God to break it, and it was broken and has been broken ever since. And that was many, many years ago. What God began to show me is that a lot of times the issues that we face have a root cause. There's a reason we are like we are. And until I asked God that, if I hadn't asked God that question, I'd probably still be struggling today. Because I thought I had what's called a false belief system. I thought the problem was strictly a spiritual warfare. It's an enemy. You know, I'm battling a foul spirit or whatever I thought. I would go into prayer thinking that was defeating it. But there was a hook. Now, the interesting thing God has shown me, I do a lot of altar ministry. Some of you have come to meetings where I'm praying with people at the end. And what I'm trying to do is hear from God, because you can never know what the real problem is in someone's life, even your own, without the help of the Holy Spirit. You really can't. You can look at your outward manifestations and go, that's not God. But to really find the root of the problem, you need to hear from Him. You need to start asking Him, which thing do you want to deal with today? Now, I'm going to take you through some fun things I put together. The enemy really did come against this class. I was trying to develop overheads. That didn't work. I tried to get copies so I could pass them out. That didn't work. So you're just going to have to bear with me. We know it's going to be good. I drew this picture of a line. This is when you're born. You're born here. You don't know Jesus, and you're going along through life, minding your own business, and something happens to you. An event. can be a wound, can be something harsh someone says, can be something horrible. Some people have, you know, unclean things happen to them, not by their choice. You react to it in any number of ways, and sometimes you will actually accept a problem or an issue, a behavior pattern, a stronghold. You accept it. You're not born again. What else can you do? You don't know. You move along through life, something else happens, and you begin to take on a certain type of personality. You take on wounds, you take on rejection, you take on behavior patterns, all kinds of stuff. Some people become controllers, some people become manipulators, some people become rapists. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you know what the studies show, that a lot of times when someone rapes somebody, it's not about the sex, it's a power play. Because they were put down and made to feel small their whole life, and the only way they know to make themselves feel powerful is to put someone else down or to take authority in an unclean way. So there's a lot of things that happen because of all the stuff that's happened to you out of it. So you go along through life, and one day you're born again. Jesus Christ comes in your life, and your spirit is made perfect. Your spirit on the inside is born again, perfect, holy, whole, totally pure. And that's how the Lord sees you. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says that He has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So you're not to condemn yourself while you're in this process. But once you get born again, even though you're born again and your spirit is pure, you're still carrying all this baggage. At least I was. And many people I know, and this is why a lot of times you'll see believers, and the world looks at believers and they expect this behavior. They expect believers to be loving and kind and forgiving. And they basically, honest to God, the world looks at believers and they expect us to be perfect. And we're not. And they look at, they say, well, you don't look any different than the rest of us. And the truth is, a lot of times we're not. And the reason is, we have all this baggage, backpacks, suitcases, we're carrying along, of junk we have gathered over the years. And you know, one thing, people are funny. They'll go to a course like this, or they'll go to one of those 3-day deliverance seminars, and those are awesome. Again, I applaud anybody who goes to something like that, because you're looking for Jesus Christ to do a work in you. But what happens is they come out of there and they have made progress. They have gotten free from some things. Maybe they have gotten delivered from some things. And I had a woman who was real, sometimes you can tell when you deal with a person that they're bound. You can tell that they still have some issues. And I was lovingly trying to help her. She was like, well, I've been through deliverance. And I was like, amen. She probably had been. But what happens is, it's sort of like the layers of an onion. I even drew you a cute little picture of an onion. I'm going to show you my picture, which I drew. You won't believe this. This is you on the inside going, help. Let me out. Surrounded by the things that have been gathered over the years. And people think that when they come to Christ, they're just going to be perfect. But what's happened is we've gathered all kinds of things, and every person will react differently to the things that have happened. I know people who never knew their father. That alone will cause you damage. Not to have a dad, that's staggering. Not to have a father that loves and cares for you, or not to understand the love of a dad. That's huge. If someone went through, their parents got divorced very young, that can cause incredible damage. And it's no one's fault, you know. It's no one's fault, but it's something that needs to be overcome. The biggest issue isn't so much that stuff happens. Stuff will happen to all of us. And everybody in here's had things happen that we probably wouldn't share with anybody. But with that, a lot of times, it's what we did with it. A lot of times, when God spoke this thing to me in the kitchen, I'll tell you what He told me. I don't mind sharing my, you know, stuff, so you know that it's okay to be honest. My problem was that I was drawn to certain men. Never made sense to me. This was the thing I talked about for 8 years. And when I said, God, what is my problem? Why am I like this? The Lord said one sentence to me, and the sentence was this. You're looking for your father in every man you meet. After about a minute, I went, oh, you know what? That's exactly what I was doing. I had a great dad, too. I had a good father. He was kind. He was not saved. He was a bit tough. He was a bit on the tough side, but he loved me, and I knew it. But he was a very stoic guy, still is. My dad, for him to say I love you would be like, I think he said it to me like once in my life. Now, I know he loves me, but I got to know it by faith. But when I was a little kid, I was real, real sensitive. My dad was kind of a tough cookie. And what happened was I wasn't looking for my father so much. I was looking for approval from a father figure. So what I, as I pondered what God said, I looked back, and what I saw was the people that I had been drawn to either looked like him, maybe they had a fragrance, he smoked, and but he always smelled good. He had his aftershave, he was a very clean guy. He dressed, he was the president of his company, so he wore pretty fancy suits. These were the type of people I was drawn to, and it was the strangest thing, because I never could figure out why was I drawn to certain people. It didn't make sense. But what it was I wasn't actually drawn to them. I was, here's the root cause. I was looking for the approval of my dad. Now, the minute, if I had not known the root cause, I'm not telling you this so you'll know about approval of a father, but there's a system I'm trying to show you. God will show you how to get free from any habit, pattern, addiction, issue, anger, anything that you're dealing with. I want to say, I can't prove that it's 100%, but most of the time when we deal with people at the altar, there's a reason that goes back. And if you can hear from the Lord, if you can ask Him, number one, Lord, what do you want to deal with first? Because I don't know what you want to deal with. And He doesn't want to deal with the inside layers until He's dealt with the outside layers. Ask Him what He wants to do in you. Sometimes He'll give you the name of something. Sometimes you'll get a memory or a flashback. He may give you a vision. He may cause someone to come and say something to you. Take that one thing. Don't try to fix everything at once. You'll just get discouraged. But ask Him, Lord, what do you want to do in me today? What are you doing in my life right now? What do you want to change? And I'll tell you why. People say, well, what's the big deal? You know, we're all like this. Can't we just accept it and go on? Yeah, you could. But at the end of our life, here's the thing. Your life has a huge purpose, but most people are never able to truly discover the fullness of their purpose or walk in it because of these bondages. Because these bondages serve to blind you. These bondages serve to make you unable to see and hear properly. They give you a skewed perspective of life. So you cannot even understand the truth of God. Sometimes these type of things put a filter on your thinker to where someone says a truth to you and you cannot hear it. You read a scripture and you can't really receive it because you've got a mental block. And it's because of these types of bondages. And so as God peels more and more away and frees you more and more, you are more and more able to walk fully in Him. And it's not that you earn the ability to walk in His power, it's that you are released to walk in His power. You are released to walk in a closer relationship. There are some people who know the Lord, who know prayer, who know all kinds of things about God and are even powerful in God, and yet have not walked in a really close friendship with Him. The whole issue of working through this stuff, it's part and parcel of it, because as you become friends with God, He gently helps you become free. You can trust Him. You can trust God. He will not hurt you. He will ask you, are you willing to give this up? He's not going to make you. God loves you. But as you are willing to have the courage to come before God and say, okay, I am willing to give this part of my life over to you. If you have not done that with every area of your life, it's going to be hard for God to really move in your life. If you haven't come to a place where He's really Lord of everything, you might as well stop right there, go home, and come back when that's settled. Because until He's Lord of every room in your house, every room in your heart, every area of your life. See, when I came back to God, you know the reason I fought with God about coming back? I wasn't sure I wanted Him to be Lord of everything. I'd give Him lordship over the money. That was cool. And as a result, by the time I was 24, I had a business and I made more money than most men ever will. Because I gave Him that area. And He took it and He blessed it. But then there were some areas I was like, I'm giving you this area. No, that's my area. I'm going to be Lord of that. And that became a complete destruction, fiasco, almost ruined me, almost killed me. Hello, what does it take for me to learn? So that's why finally at 26, I got it. Took me 11 years to get this one thing. if I do it, I'm going to mess it up. If he does it, he's going to make it right. And so when I came back and gave him lordship, when you give him lordship, you are giving the rights and the keys and the access to every part of your life, your business, your home, your relationships, who you marry, who you don't marry, how you deal with people, what you do for a living. And when you give him those keys, he'll begin to come in and he'll want to lovingly and gently take over and show you how to live, how to handle those areas. And if you let him, he may do some things you don't like at first. He may say, throw that out. Well, but if we will forego idolatry, if we will put idolatry away, idolatry is simply putting anything, anybody, any wish, any desire before his will. And if we will take that stuff and put it away, put away means divorce, put it away from you, put it behind you, get rid of it, God will begin to revamp every room in your life. And he'll begin to bring a wholeness. And the coolest thing about God is it's without limits. So even when you think, wow, look how far I've come, it's just the start. I'm 50. This started really when I was 15, and then I told you about when I was 26. And from 26 on, it's been great guns. And only in the last year have I begun to see things I have never seen before, never heard anybody talk about. So exciting with God that I wanted to just grab people and say, oh my God, you've got to get this. You got to see heaven. You got to see the temple. You got to see the throne of God. You must come into this relationship. If you get a hold of this, you're never going to be the same. I mean, it will just unravel you. And I know that, and I felt like God said to me last year, this is only the very start of what I want to do with you. It took me this long to get to the very start. I cannot wait to see what he will do next. God has so much more than we know. We've just dabbled so lightly in the things of God. We have no idea the glory that is there, that is available for every believer. This is for everybody that will. But it's a walk that we have to choose to walk. Am I way, of course, or what? Hallelujah. So one of the things the Lord said to me is that people go along through their life, get born again, and if they don't find complete deliverance and wholeness, a lot of times people expect it to come in a day. But it's like this. Have you ever known somebody that's lived in their house 40 years? And then you know somebody who's lived in their house 2 years? And the person who's lived there 40 years will talk about, I've accumulated. Well, it's just like that with Christianity. The older you are, the more we tend to accumulate issues and problems over the years. And so we expect to come to God and just poof, it's all gone. But what's happened is it's just like if the person who's lived there 40 years has to move out of their house, they're going to have one room at a time, they're going to have to start hauling stuff out, get the dumpster, haul it out, one room at a time. And it's just like that. I know right now that I got to go home and clean out my basement. I know it because I know no one we're ever going to move. We may live there 20 years, but you know what? I don't want to be looking at that stuff in 20 years. I do not want to be looking at that stuff. And our life in God is that same way. Okay, now let me talk to you about some little things. Now, as I talk about some of these, this may raise some things in your heart. God may be just putting a little finger on something that we're going to pray about. God may just touch and go, ding, ding, you know, that's a little thing you want to deal with. And remember, there's no condemnation from God. He loves you exactly as you are, but he wants to gently release us to the next level. That's what it's really about. He's releasing us to the next level. You're leaving some things behind. So one of the things he began to give me is some of the cause and effect type stuff. And the background, I want to give you a little background for this. One time I was praying with a woman at the altar, and she was requesting prayer for healing. And as I closed my eyes and I was praying for her healing, and the Lord stopped me. And he showed me a little picture in my mind's eye, and what he showed me was a wound. And attached to that wound was this little stem and then a thing hanging on it called bitterness. And then attached to the bitterness was a stem and a thing hanging on it called sickness. So I realized what he was saying is, if you pray for the sickness, you're not dealing with her issue. If you pray for the bitterness, you're still not getting to the core of the issue. And what he showed me was, it's like a cause and effect. the wound caused some bitterness. It's bitterness is a choice. Bitterness is a choice. Unforgiveness is a choice. The reaction you have to what happened to you, it's a choice. And you can choose to undo that. But what I felt the Lord was saying to me is, the wound was the cause and the effect was bitterness. The bitterness was a cause and the effect of sickness. If you want to deal with it, go back to the root, the original root, which is the wound. I prayed for her to be healed of the wound and asked her, are you willing now to release bitterness and forgive that person? I believe that what God was saying to me was she couldn't deal with the bitterness until she dealt with the wound. Because she was, if you're really wounded, sometimes it's hard to make the right choice. Sometimes it's hard because you're so wounded, you try to forgive and then the wound flares up and you're like, ow, I can't deal with it. When we prayed for her wound to be healed, she made a choice to release that bitterness away from her and forgive the person. It was a relationship in her family. When she did that, she was able to receive healing for her body because we'd gotten rid of the root cause. And so, I can't tell you, I won't even give all the testimonies. I could give you many testimonies of things I've gotten free from, just even behavior patterns. It's not always sin. An issue is not always sin. Sometimes it's just a behavior pattern that's not healthy. Not healthy for you, not healthy for people around you. God wants that stuff free. Sometimes if you were going along through life, and let's say you had a wound or a rejection, you may get into anger. You may accept or receive unforgiveness. You may make what's called an inner vow. Now, in further classes, we're going to go much deeper into these things. But an inner vow, I'll give you an example of an inner vow. An inner vow is, I'll get them back. You may not speak it out, but you say something inside. Now, here's the interesting thing about a vow. I didn't know this until I heard a woman talking about inner vows, and God began to set me free. An inner vow goes into effect because it is a vow. A vow actually causes you to behave accordingly. So you may forget you even said the thing, but your behavior will go according to what you said, even though you may have said it when you were 5 or 6. I made an inner vow when I was about 6 years old because of something that was hurtful and that was said to me and my family. I never knew anything about it. When I was in my 30s, I began to have heart attack-like symptoms. It was like a fist in my chest going, boom. I had my hand, I was laying on the floor, I had my hand on the phone to call 911, and the Lord stopped me. I went into work, and I worked next to a man who is full of the Holy Ghost, thank the Lord, and he hears the Lord's voice very well, word of knowledge, very accurate in the word of knowledge. And I went to work the next day, and I said, brother, pray with me. I had this, you know, it's terrible. And what the Lord said to him was, have her call this lady named Grace. Now, Grace is a woman that works in emotional healing, and I thought she was flaky. I did. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. But I knew that this man heard from the Lord pretty well, so I said, okay, we'll call Grace. And we called Grace, and we got on the phone, and she's an older lady that lived with an alcoholic for 17 years. Then down the road and back, this lady had found a lot of healing and a lot of deliverance. And when she talked to me on the phone, this is what she said to me. She said, honey, what you have is not sickness. She said, what you have is inner conflict, and it's making you sick. Now, my pride went, no. I was prideful, no. Mm-mm. But inside, something went, yes. I had been through some years of extreme stress, extreme duress, and what was happening was, it was making me sick. Now, what I didn't know was the root cause went all the way back to this inner vow I had made. When I went to Grace, said, come on over, I'm going to pray with you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I thought she was weird. She was one of those real, woo, touchy-feely type people. She was a charismatic Catholic, you know. I went to her house, but I was open. At this point, I was open. She sat me on the couch, and she prayed what I thought was the absolute worst prayer I'd ever heard in my life. Made no sense. I'm a very logical person. Made no sense. She said, Lord, I want you to take Holly back through her life and be there at those times when she needs you. And I'm thinking, you quack. I mean, honestly, I just thought that was the silliest thing I'd ever heard. Immediately, I started to have flashbacks. The Lord took me back through my life just like this. Boom, 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 boom. About 10 slides went before me instantly. And they told a story of what my problem was. He didn't tell her anything, but I knew exactly what my problem was. Do you want to know what my problem was? Okay. My problem was that when I was about 5 or 6, my sister had said something that hurt my feelings and I was crying. My dad was kind of a tough guy and he had 4 girls and a boy and he didn't know how to relate to girls, and especially he didn't like people crying. It made him uncomfortable. And he yelled at me and he said, "Why do you have to be so sensitive all the time?" And I went,
"Oh, wow.
That's not okay. Crying is not okay." Shut down. Inside, I made a sort of vow. Now, I don't remember speaking it. I probably didn't speak it. But the idea of it was, they'll never see me cry. And I became very stoic. Next slide, going through life. My father is raising us, but he didn't know how to deal with girls. Great guy. But if you wanted to relate to my dad, you had to relate to him with horses and farms, because that was him, or business. Or forget it. That was the only thing my dad, to this day, we want to talk, we talk about horses and farms and business. I became a tomboy. When everybody else was reading Harlequin romances, I was reading Louis L'Amour westerns. Loved them. I became, in my mind, a little bit tougher than most girls should be. I developed a tough exterior. It was all exterior, but it was tough, because that's what Dad expected. What happened? I had assumed a false identity. I was having a misconception about being a woman. Now, slide 3 or 4 or 5, now I'm in the church. I know I'm called to preach, but I was in churches where that wasn't okay if you're a woman. So I'm kind of frustrated. This is totally wrong, but I'm just telling you where I was at. I'm feeling like, well, God gave me this calling, and you can only do this calling from the first railroad car, and I'm stuck in the second railroad car, and I'm not allowed to go in the first railroad car. So what's your deal, God? I mean, I never said that. But in my heart, I felt that way. When she said this to me, I don't know how, but God revealed all this to me, that what I had done was I had become in my mind. I honestly thought women were weak people. I'm not weak. I never was weak. I mean, just honestly, I'm not a weak person. So I could not associate with women. Worse than that, when I got my job, now I'm a programmer. I'm a computer programmer, analyst. Now it's more women than men. But when I started, I was the only woman in my office. And I took a lot of heat about that. So I learned how to deal with men, how to give statistics. I learned how to persuade men. You persuade men different than women, believe me. They like numbers, facts. You know, don't tell me what you feel. Give me the facts. Then I'll be persuaded. And so I began to deal more that way. All this was leading up to this point in time where what I had done for all those years was stuff everything in, because I was so stoic and proud, prideful. I had this mask of being tough. I'm carrying all this stuff, and I had gone through some years of real difficult things, high stress, extremely difficult, and I won't drag you through all that. And what was happening is all those things were in my body. When you store up stuff, it acts like a poison in your body. It's a toxin, and it will make you sick. A lot of people that come forward with fibromyalgia get healed when we deal with the emotional root. I don't know why that is. But I've had great success getting people healed from fibromyalgia. But God never has me deal with fibromyalgia. It's in the joints. It's a pain in the joints. And I think it's stored up junk is what I think. One poor lady came to me and at a conference, and she had severe pain all the time from fibromyalgia. But I put my hand on her shoulder and I went to pray for her. And God showed me what looked like a bullet in her heart. Someone had hurt her or something had hurt her. I didn't pray for the fibromyalgia, but I did pray for that bullet to come out. She fell down, and this was one of those, this was out at Rockford where the lines were like, you know, out the door and down the street, long, long line. So I worked my way all the way around to the very back of the room in the middle, and here comes this little lady, and I'm thinking, I prayed for you. Stop that. The line is long enough. She said, "I have to tell you, all pain has left my body." She confirmed to us later that it never did come back. What was happening was she had taken on, what happens, a lot of the stuff we have, we took it on. Because we couldn't deal with reality. Sometimes, and I don't ever blame somebody if they take on another. That's why people are fragmented. I used to think people with split personalities were just, you know, too far out there. But what has really happened is they had a reality that they couldn't take. when someone is damaged as a little child, people have invaded their boundaries, I'll say it that way, done things that are unspeakable. Children have unspeakable things that happen to them when they're little, sometimes before their remembrance. They don't even know what happens sometimes. Because they cannot deal with the reality of it, they develop a pretend world to live in. It helps them cope. And so that becomes so real to them, they don't know the difference anymore. I used to think it had to be cast out, but a lot of times what it is they have to be taught enough truth to bring them to a place where they're able to say, okay, I can deal with reality. And it takes time to bring them to a place where they can handle truth well enough to say, I'm ready to deal with life. I'm ready to accept reality. I'm ready to say goodbye to that world, that fantasy I was living in. Did you ever meet a little kid who's been put down a lot? Maybe he's the littlest one in his class. He'll make up a fantasy world that he'll live in to give him some self-esteem, because his self-esteem's been stolen. You know, someone has talked down to him, or maybe the kids made fun of him. He'll make up this big fantasy. I used to do it. Kids do that. But really, the truth is, adults do it too, because we're trying to cope with what life has handed us. Boy, I'm not even off my first box. You guys have to promise to come back, because I have a lot of good stuff. Okay, that was inner vows. The inner vow that you make, like a person who says, well, I'll give you another example of inner vows. This is important. My mom passed away from cancer. Now, we see healings all the time. But we laid hands on my mom and laid hands on my mom and laid hands. Now, she did get saved. And the Lord did touch her. But she couldn't get her healing. And that really bothered me. And I was praying about it, and I heard her say this one day. She had been through a difficult divorce with my father, and it had caused a terrible rift with some of the other kids in my family. It had caused a relational break. And I heard my mom say, I will never forgive him. She couldn't do it. She could have forgiven him for the divorce, which was really hard for her. But she felt he had caused her to lose her oldest daughter. Broke her heart. All her whole life, it broke her heart that she lost that relationship. And in the last days of her life, she still couldn't forgive him for that. Now, a friend of mine who was praying for her did not know the situation. Didn't know about the divorce. Didn't know about the relational break. Called me and said, I was praying for your mom, and this is what I got. She has unforgiveness towards your dad. I said, yeah, she does. And she said, I feel like the Lord is telling me that until she releases that she's going to have a hard time receiving her healing. Well, my mom passed away. Now, I think now, maybe knowing a little bit more, maybe we could have worked her through that. But at that point, my mom was a very strong personality. She wasn't willing to forgive. It was a form of an inner vow to say, I will never forgive. And the problem with saying anything out loud, whether it's good or bad, is we have been given authority with our speech. And a lot of times, if you're down in the dumps, it's because you talked yourself into it. The truth is, if you're upset or angry, a lot of times, if you're worried or concerned, if you have fear, a lot of times you have been speaking it, and our emotions immediately begin to line up with what we say. Try it. Sometime when you're having a crummy day, make yourself say, boy, I feel good. Start to say good things, and your emotions will start to go, oh, really? Okay. I won't go into all this, but I've begun to see miracles happening as I begin to change the way I talk. I've seen more miracles in the past 2 months just from speaking different, on purpose, speaking different. One of the things that happens when you get a wound or rejection is you begin to hide your true self. You get shame, you say, well, I'm going to hide who I am because that won't be acceptable. Some people take on the fear of man, fear of disapproval, shame, creating a false identity, pretending to become tough. I've even seen women pretend to be dumb that aren't dumb as a cover. Live in a fantasy world. Seeking wrong relationships to try to fill the void or the wound area. Sometimes people will take on addictions, drugs, sexual activity, drinking, trying to fill the void. If you're verbally attacked or accused, or you have a relationship break, sometimes you'll develop what's called a defense shield. It's like you don't want to be hurt anymore. Have you ever seen somebody that's just been so hurt? And so they kind of begin to guard their heart. They don't want to be hurt anymore. Who needs it? But sometimes, what I've seen, what I've learned over the years, is sometimes that when you harden your heart or you allow a callus to grow over your heart, it does protect you from further wounding, but it also builds a little bit of a callus between you and God and causes you not to be able to hear Him or trust Him because this callus is there. And sometimes when I've prayed with people at the altar, I've been able to get them free in their relationship with God by asking them, are you ready to let God circumcise your heart or cut that thing away? And sometimes if a person is willing to allow Him to cut some things away, they can feel again, they can hear Him again, they can relate to Him again. Because that protection, sometimes what we develop as a defense against what man might do to us, we actually allow that to become a defense against what God would do with us or say to us. And sometimes that has stopped us from dealing with our Creator, who would never hurt you. I just have to pause for a minute. God's doing something. Right now I feel like God is dealing with the heart. I don't want to just teach you the information. We need to deal with the stuff. I have lots and lots more, but I feel like God wants us to stop right here. I'm going to have you pray this, whether this is you or not, just for everyone else's sake. Let's all just pray it together. Father, if in any way I have developed a callus on my heart or a shield of protection, I ask you to gently heal me, gently remove that callus, and let me trust again, let me feel again, and let me hear your voice. Let me come close to you like never before. Someone here has had an issue that the Lord, I see it's like your hand is on it and you're sensing that the Lord wants you to put it away from you. So right now, in Jesus' name, we just put anything away that is not of you, Father. I want you to just close your eyes and relax, and I want you to see if the Lord brings you anything that is, just anything that has been something you didn't want to give up to God, an area you didn't want to give over. Or it can be an attitude, it can be a relationship, it can be an object or a dream, it can be a career, it can be anything. I feel like the Lord is asking you, will you put me first? Will you allow me to make the decision of what's best for you in that area? And if your heart is able to say, yes, Lord, I want you first in every area, just say, yes, Lord. If you're able to pray this prayer, I want you to say out loud, Lord, I give you every area of my life. I open my house to you. I open my heart to you. I give it to you. Do what you will. Take authority, Lord. Rule and reign. Do whatever you want, Father. I trust you with my life. I see a picture of someone that's on an operating table. And the Lord is wanting to do some surgery, but He will not do it unless you are willing to say, yes, I'm ready. If you know that that's you, you don't have to say out loud, but just I want you to just quietly tell the Lord if you're ready, Lord, I trust you to do surgery on my life. One thing I have seen, the Lord allows me to talk of this, about this stuff because of the amount of baggage that I had. I had a lot of problems in my life, so much that I would never be able to point to anybody and judge them. I would never be able to point a finger at any human and say, look at that guy or look at that woman. because God allowed me to see myself at my worst. And He allowed me to see what we're really like. By His grace, He has allowed me to survive and to be set free. But He wants to bring us into deeper levels with Him. I see someone right now. He's gently, you have like a rock. It's like your heart, you have a heart of flesh. You love the Lord with all your heart. But I see this rock sitting on top of your heart. It's like this big old rock sitting on top, and it's a weight, it's a heaviness. And it has caused a hindering force. And I feel like the Lord is just gently wants to cut that out of there. It has caused behavioral problems. It has caused some relationship issues and some strife in your home. It has caused you to react in a way that's really not you. It's really not you. You know, sometimes when you have a stronghold or a burden, you want to do what's right, but this weight actually, it just causes problems. So the Lord wants us to be free from every stronghold, every type of bondage. I see God removing weights off of someone's back. A lot of times I know who it is, but I don't want to embarrass anybody, okay? So just allow me to speak to people generically, if you would. I see a person and they've had, it's almost like a backpack, but it's been a weight that you've carried, I think almost all your life, you've carried this weight. And you've been the strong one. You've had to almost be the strong one. You've had to carry it for everybody else. And I saw the Lord gently come up behind you and say, "May I take this? May I take this backpack full of rocks, full of burdens? You've tried to provide for your family. You've tried to take the heat for failures with finances. You've tried to take the blame. You've tried to say, well, you know, if I was, you know, doing something better, it would have been better. But you know what the Lord says? If you let go of that, just let it go and let me deal with it. Let me be the provider for a while. Let me be the strong one for a while. Let me carry you. Let me carry you for a while. I think you've given for long enough. Now you take a rest. Take a Sabbath. Take a rest. And rest in me and let me carry you. Let me take the burdens and walk you through this time." I sense that a lot of this has been about financial difficulty, financial strain, and it has caused a burden that was just unfair and unreal. It has caused a difficulty really on the family and on you, and just it's just been hard. But I feel like the Lord is saying, reach up, just put your hand up, reach up to me, let me guide you like I would guide a little boy, like a father would guide a little boy. Would a father ever condemn his little boy? Would a father ever condemn his little son? No, never. Not ever. Never. But I would lead him and I would pick him up and I would carry him on my shoulders and I would show him great things. I'd say, look at this and look at that. Let me teach you, says the Lord. Let me disciple you. Let me carry you where I want you to go. Let me put things before your eyes that will begin to make sense. I want to give you a perspective that you have never seen before. I want to give you God's perspective and God's vision. Because when you see things the way that God sees things, you'll never see things the same way again. Once you catch a glimpse of God's vision from heaven for you and for your family and for your life, you'll never look at things the same way. You will have joy and you will be able to walk in that joy. Because I have a plan for you, says the Father, that exceeds, abundantly exceeds all that you have ever known or seen or imagined. But I want to open the doors and release you into your future. I want to open the doors and give you a little push into the future that I have for you. But you can't go into your future with that backpack. You can't go into your future carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders as if somehow it all depended on you. Because my grace is there for you. I died so that you could have relationship, oneness, a joint effort between you and God. And I want no less for you. Stop being so strong all the time. Let me run the show. And let me take the heat if there's a failure. Let me take the heat. Have I truly failed? No, I promise you I have not failed. And I will provide. And I know how. I see a person here and they have regrets and I see them like crying because I see they're holding out their hands and their hands are sort of like dirty. They've done something that makes them feel like they've done unclean things with their hands. And they're crying and they're saying, "No, I just want to be clean and I didn't mean to do that and I feel so sorry," and you've apologized to God and you've gone to Him, but you felt like you couldn't face Him. And I saw the Lord just open His arms and say, "Come and let me help you. Come and let me cleanse you. Come and let me pour pure water over you and just cleanse you totally. Don't you know that I am able to forgive? Don't you know that I love to forgive? Don't you know that my heart is to forgive you and help you up again?" Do not condemn yourself continually. Do not condemn yourself continually. You beat yourself up. I see you just beating yourself up over this and other issues too. It's like you're just constantly condemning yourself and beating yourself up and feeling like that you can't go to God. But God is saying, "I want to change your understanding of me." He wants you to see how He really is. He wants you to see the gospel message for what it is. He died for your sins, not just the ones before you were born again. He died to cleanse us from our sins. And it says that if we come to Him and we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from the unrighteousness. And when He does that, He wants you to know your hands are then clean in His sight. And for you to doubt that is to doubt the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's to doubt that the cross was sufficient. I see a cloud of wisdom hanging over a person. God is waiting to pour His wisdom in you, and you've had a little mental block. I see a block, like in your thinking on top of your head. You think things are a certain way, and you have an opinion about it, and that opinion has caused you not to be able to receive the wisdom of God, which is higher. Cast down your own opinions and say, "God, am I wrong about that?" Sometimes our own opinions are so strong that we will not hear God even if He speaks because we know better. I see the Lord doing something in someone's stomach, their physical stomach. You have taken on anxieties and you've made them personal, and your body has actually accepted like a spirit of anxiety and worry, and it has caused your stomach and your digestive system to know turmoil. And as a result, your stomach kind of reacts the wrong way to some things. But tonight, God wants to set you free right now. I cut anxiety and worry and stress off you, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. We break its power off you. And Father, I ask you to straighten out the thinking so that anxiety will have no place in their thinking again. I ask that they will walk in the peace and the love of God, that they'll come to know that place of deep rest. Do you know that there's a place of deep rest in God? It's a rest so deep that you can be sitting with the Lord and maybe you're not even talking. Maybe He's not talking either. Maybe you're just sitting in His presence. You can go into a rest that is so deep that you'll actually experience being with Him in such a real way. When you come out, it's as though you've been to another realm, been to another place, and you come out with this deep state of rest And I love going to that place of rest in Him, resting in His presence. Because when I come out, nothing can touch me. Nothing can touch you in the presence of God. There are places you can go in God where the devil cannot find you. I said there are places you can go in God where the devil cannot find you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a hidden place. It's secret. It's a secret, hidden place in God, open to any believer that will come. How is your relationship with Him? Come closer. You know, one of the biggest things, problems we have is that we doubt that we can really come that close to God. Satan throws all our faults up in our face. He throws all kinds of distractions. He will come against your mind in every kind of a last-ditch effort to try to stop you from truly fellowshipping with God. He'll tell you God doesn't really want that. God wants you to go and work hard for Him. Or you blew it last week. God doesn't want to talk to you. Satan will try every imaginable kind of nonsense to keep you from going to the one place that God wants you to go. Remember when Mary and Martha were together and Martha was trying to get Jesus to tell Mary to help her because she was all frazzled. She had to do stuff and she was doing it for Jesus. She was working for Jesus. She was. But Jesus said this to her, "Martha, Martha, you're encumbered or weighed down, burdened, encumbered, trapped. You got a rock on your head. You got rocks in your backpack, Martha. You're encumbered by much serving." But He said, listen to this. He said, really, only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the better thing. Mary was not talking. She was not praying. She was not interceding. She was just hanging out with Him, listening to Him, and loving on Him. She was just sitting at His feet. That's the one thing. And in that place, everything else can fall away. Every kind of problem, issue, habit, addiction, anything you've got, you come to that place. And you come there long enough and you will find yourself changed. You will find God peeling off the layers and you don't even know what happened. And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, saying, "Hey, where did that go? It's gone. That thing, that problem I used to have, it's gone. The Lord freed you while you were sitting at His feet." The Lord wants to pour Himself into you. He wants to pour His love on you. You know, there's a place in God where you can... The Bible talks about becoming one with Him. And it's not blasphemy. You know, the Bible talks about us sitting, being allowed to sit on His throne with Him. Rule and reign with Him. There's a place on the throne for you. He will always be God, the one and only, the name above every name. We will never be, but He loves us so much. It reminds me of when I was a little kid. We had this big, giant, oversized brown leather recliner. And that was my dad's TV chair. And it was so big that my dad and me could both squish in that chair. We could both squeeze into that chair. And it was like we were together. We were one. And you know, that is how God sees us. That's how much God loves you. And as you sit with Him and as you stay in His presence, He will actually allow you to come into the place where His throne is. He will allow you to hear the music of heaven. He will allow you to hear the four living creatures. I was allowed to hear them crying, "Holy, holy, holy." They never stop crying. They never stop. Heaven is full of worship all the time. And there are times when God will just take you. But you know, a lot of times He takes the person who's been hanging out there a lot, been hanging out with Him. Because it's like this. It's like a trap door that's stuck shut. But if you push it open and shut often enough, pretty soon it just gets where it's so loose that it just you can't shut it. I know that sounds strange, but that's how it is visiting with God. You begin to visit with God and hang out with God and listen to God enough, pretty soon He'll come looking for you. When you first start praying a lot and you say, man, I'm not hearing from you, God, and you start pounding on the doors of heaven, I've got to hear your voice, God. I've got to know what you're saying. What are you saying, God? And you pray and you pray. I went to this church and it was kind of like this church, only a little bigger, and I'd pace up and down. They opened the church every night for 3 hours. You'd pace up and down and pray and pray. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to, God, oh. And at first, you know, I didn't hear much from God. I didn't even understand about His presence. There was so much I didn't get. But over time, a little and then a little more and then a little more, there began to be more of an open door. And as I began to go through that door, He began to open more for me. It's a process. It's a relationship. If you're married, when you first met your spouse, they were a stranger and you know, if you were attracted to them, you were doing all kinds of things. You wanted their attention, but you didn't want to come off too. And, you know, you would do all kinds of things to get to know them. Then maybe you made friends or maybe you dated a little. But you didn't instantly go to the kind of relationship after you've been married for 20 years. After you've been married a number of years, you know what they'll do. You know how they're going to react. You know them. You know what they like and what they don't like. And that's how it is with the Father. You can't just waltz in and be instantly one with Him, but He wants it for everyone. Everyone who will develop this relationship with God can have it. He wants all His children to come to heaven. He wants all His children to be in relationship. He wants all His children to know Him so well that they know His heart, they know what He's saying. His desire is that everyone would be prophetic. His desire is that everyone would hear from Him and know His heart and be able to say to someone, this is what the Lord says to you. He wants that for all His children. But not all His children will come. Or they'll come when it's convenient. Or they'll come sometimes, but not others. But if you come and you keep on coming to that place, pretty soon you will find favor resting upon you. God will pour favor on you to wherever you go, you have favor. You can come to a place in God where He so favors you because you're sold out, because your heart is His, because everything you have and everything you are, every cell in your body belongs to Him and Him alone, and He knows it. And He doesn't just know it because you said so. He's proved it in your life. A lot of people say it, but God will prove you. God will see when you mean what you say. God will watch you, and He'll watch you for years. And He will on purpose put things and people and circumstances in your life to see, do you really mean what you said? Am I really Lord? Do I really own it all? And over time, at one time I'd have never dared to preach this sermon. But God has been saying things to me recently that I almost can't repeat. God has been showing me that there is a place where He desires to lavish you with favor. He desires it, but He will not do it to those who are not sold out and living it. Listen to this scripture. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, so will he also reap. What God has shown me is that the measure, you know how it says the measure you use, it's going to be measured back to you again. It is exactly that way with your life. If you begin to throw your life into God, what will please you? God, what would make you happy today? What could I do that would put a smile on your face, God? Tell me something, God, that I could do that no one will know about, that I could go and do that would just make your day. Is there something I could do, God? You start to live like that, and God will go out of His way to bless you. He will do what you have sown, He will do to you. He'll start to say, what is it you want? Is there something I could do for you? I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you the truth. Whatever a man sows, so will he reap. Sow your whole life. Trust me on this. You will not be sorry. Yes, it will be hard. Yeah, he'll make you give stuff up. Yeah, you'll have to give up relationships you might have wanted. There'll be some stuff you'll walk from, you bet. The road does get narrower, as they say, and it sure does. But I'm going to tell you something else. You will come into a place of such phenomenal favor and joy. He will allow you. You come far enough into servanthood. Remember he said he who makes himself last is going to be first? When you lay it down before God and you humble yourself and make yourself last so that he can be first, he will begin to make visitation on your house. He will visit people that you prayed for 20 years ago. He will find ways to give you little things every day that have the signature of God that you know he went out of his way to do it and you didn't even ask for it. I see it all the time. He wants people that are really out for him. You know, there's a scripture that fascinates me. Paul was talking about Timothy. It's a very telling statement. And he's talking to these people. He's asking them, receive him. Receive him as you would me. Because he said, I don't know anyone like him who will naturally care for your state. Because all seek their own. And I'm going to tell you something I've seen. And I'm not judging anybody. But I have seen it. That our human nature, if we do not overcome it by the Holy Ghost, our nature is me first. Now come on, don't lie. We can say it's about God. And we may even want it to be. But a lot of times, the reason people even want to minister is to be seen of men or to get the reward, have God's stamp of approval. That's not even wrong. But what I'm saying is, by the work of the Spirit of God, we can come to a place where we begin to think, what's in it for Him? Oh, I'm just so far off course now, I'm just going to sail, okay? I believe with all my heart that in the Garden of Eden, before Adam sinned, he was created in the image of God. What is God like? I'll tell you what God is like. The Father said he was giving Jesus the name above every name, even above his own. Gave it to Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the Father, the will of him who sent me. So Jesus put in the Father first. Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, said, you can blaspheme and it'll be forgiven. You can blaspheme me or the Father, it'll be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme that Holy Ghost, it'll never be forgiven you in this age or in the age to come. What was happening? There's a scripture that says, in honor, giving preference one to the other. That is what God is like. And he was showing us, by the Trinity, was saying, the Father put his Son first. The Son put the Father first. They both put the Holy Ghost first. Because that is the nature of God, what's in it for him. When God created Adam, I believe that before the fall, it was Adam's very nature to wake up every day and say, what would glorify God? What could I do for God? Now, we do that. Sometimes what we do, though, is someone asks us to do something, and the first thought is, does it fit my schedule? Is that good for me? That doesn't sound like fun. We begin to think of all the things, and then we might say, oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's good. But I believe with Adam, it was his first thought. It was his actual nature. Now, Jesus came to restore us to our original state before the fall. Jesus died on the cross so we can go back to the way it was before. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Not just souls that were lost, but all the stuff we lost. This was nowhere in any of my plans. Or any of the things the Lord talked about to me about. But I would say this to you. The most important thing I probably could ever say to you is if you can go after God to change your heart until it's a heart that truly puts Him first and walk with Him through that process of change, you will find the mysteries of God. You will find joy like you never knew. You will find the favor of God. You will walk in your purpose. And God will, there is no limit to the doors God will open to you. God will go before you and open doors for you. Because He has now found somebody that His trust can rest upon. He can look at you and say, now there's somebody I can trust. I know what they'll do in the clinches. They didn't just say it in their bedroom. They've lived it. They, in the clinches, when I tested them, they lived it. And that's a person that God will take anywhere. That's a person that God will send. That's a person that God will use. God will give you His voice. God will give you His word. God will give you His instruction. He'll give you anointing. He'll give you the power to heal. He'll give you all kinds of stuff if you're somebody that can be trusted. God is looking for vessels that can be trusted with the life of God, the life force of God, the anointing of God, the power of God. Everybody wants to be used as a healer because that's pretty glamorous. And the truth is, God desires that. He desires that for people. And the truth is, He's actually given us that. But I've noticed that people who are not real submitted don't get the revelation of it very well. And as people submit the whole of their life to God, they come into more and more revelation, are able to walk in the very thing that we know we've already received. How about that? So there are great things that lie ahead. I want you to say this if it's in your heart. I want to go deeper, God. I want to really live for You. Not in word only, but in deed. I want to be a person that You can trust to send anywhere and do anything. And I want to live so that I live for Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah.